We're never immune from disasters, natural or man-made, and Hawaii's isolation creates added challenges to any disaster response. This week, we've been breaking down and examining Hawaii's different areas of vulnerability. And in a disaster, much of the responsibility for keeping goods flowing among the islands would fall to Young Brothers, the Inter-Island Cargo Company, whose president and CEO, Joseph Boivin, is with us in our studio. Joe, thanks for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Before we talk disaster, let's talk about what happens on a normal day. What kind of inter-island cargo traffic does Young Brothers have handle on any given day?
Well, on any given week, we handle about 12 shipments between islands.
Mm-hmm.
So regularly scheduled, we're regulated by the Public Utilities Commission, and largely responsible for providing the majority of capacity to move goods between islands.
Mm-hmm. So how long does it take for those goods, say a shipment to Hawaii, to need to be replenished?
Well, you know, over the past few decades, Hawaii has shifted from having a lot of storage on each island, where we tended to stockpile food and things like that, to one that is more just in time today.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes, what we deliver, say, to Niuliuli or to Hilo in the morning, will be offloaded and brought to the stores and placed on the shelves that same afternoon. So that then drives a delivery schedule of every few days needing to bring in a vessel to provide enough food and enough goods to serve the island's needs.
So we actually have less stockpiled than we did, say, 20 years ago?
Yes.
What was the rationale for that, do you think?
Well, I think it had to do with streamlining operations to drive cost and increase profitability for all these businesses. When you store things like that, it costs money.
Makes sense.
And I think that was probably the primary driver.
But that does actually create increased vulnerability, doesn't it?
It can, because now you're operating on this just-in-time philosophy, and if there's any interruption in that logistics supply chain, you can run into problems.
The just-in-time philosophy sort of comes from the other end, the receiving end of the businesses you serve, is what it sounds like, that for their operations, it's more efficient for them to operate that way.
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement.
But for that, for you, then, if something goes wrong, that's an added challenge, isn't it?
It can be, and it takes a lot of planning to run a logistics company like ours, week in and week out. If you think about the sheer volume of containers that are shipped between Honolulu and the neighbor islands and then back again,
mm-hmm.
It's a lot of people, a lot of work, and it needs to run on a very regular schedule. Sometimes weather doesn't cooperate. We do have high winds, high seas. They can cause delays in trips, which is fairly common, and that includes delays in shipments coming from the mainland to Hawaii as well.
In a disaster, you obviously would not be responding in a vacuum, but whose help would you seek, let's say, if there were, well, let's take a real-world example, Hurricane Iniki. What happened in Hurricane Iniki when all kinds of access to the island was curtailed?
You know, in that case, back in 92, we were tracking the storms, as we do every day, tracking weather, understanding the impact to Hawaii. And that storm was tracking south of the islands and then went north unexpectedly. And when the storm hit, it did cause a tremendous amount of devastation, as we all know, on the island. In that case, the harbor was full of debris. And we had coordinated with the Army Corps of Engineers at that time to bring in equipment to help with the debris removal efforts. That took a few days, but then finally we were able to bring in a barge, and we provided 6 barges of humanitarian relief the first week after the storm. And that alone had its own challenges, because dropping off that much cargo at the port, even though it was needed, all of the roads weren't necessarily clear.
Mm-hmm.
All of the receiving companies weren't necessarily able to bring their employees, their equipment down to pick those containers up and bring them back to where they needed to be. So we had a large stockpile happening at the harbor itself. Now, ultimately, over time, that worked itself out. But that's another problem that you have. Just because you bring it to the island now, now you still need to distribute it mm-hmm. to the points of where it's needed, right? And so you need to make sure you have a very well-coordinated relief effort across the board. And that includes the Army Corps, local folks on the island, police, fire, and so forth, as well as the United States Coast Guard, state civil defense. So all of those entities come together, as well as the non-governmental organizations, because part of that humanitarian relief effort is to coordinate with the Food Lands and the KTAs of the world and others, the Red Cross, to bring in medical supplies, food supplies, and other supplies that are needed.
It's a reminder that any kind of disaster relief effort has to, coordination is sort of the very first job almost.
It is, and I think today we have a pretty robust system in place in terms of processes and procedures. Mm-hmm. You know, when a storm is approaching Hawaii, we, as I'm sure many other companies such as Hawaiian Electric do, you stand up an incident command center. And this is really a group of people that are tracking the storm, that are thinking ahead about how to perhaps pre-position equipment that would need to be transported to a neighbor island, such as trucks to fix electric lines and things of that variety.
And you folks, Young Brothers, has such a system in place?
We do. We meet with Hawaiian Electric on an ongoing basis, and we coordinate with the NGOs throughout the year. So this is pretty well established for us in Hawaii.
Because when you were describing Naulili Harbor in Hurricane Iniki, the harbor had to be cleared of debris before any barges could come in, and that's always the problem in a disaster with harbors, because we were talking earlier and you reminded me that even the very nature of a harbor can shift in a disaster, making it inhospitable to ships coming in, right?
It can. Not only floating debris that needs to be cleared, but there could be damage to the pier side itself that mm-hmm. might prevent a ship from tying up. And there could be runoff from on-island streams or rivers that increase the depth of the ocean floor, mm-hmm. which then needs to be cleared. So there's a number of things that can happen. The Army Corps and the United States Coast Guard will address those issues and then work with the state harbors as well to make sure all of that is safe and clear.
Do you folks run scenarios, how do you describe it, do you game these scenarios in advance of what would happen if this harbor were closed, that harbor were closed?
We do. We call them tabletop exercises.
Uh-huh. And that's the term I was looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. And which really just means that we will make pretend there's a storm coming. We'll get everybody involved with the process so that you are training and you know what your role, what your responsibility is, so that when something like this really happens, you are prepared. You know, it's the type of thing that if you don't practice and then it hits just once in a while, you may not be as prepared as you really need to be. And sometimes you have a very short window in which to react. Mm-hmm. You know, the tsunami warnings we had several years ago are a good example of that. Where you might have had 6 or 8 hours before this supposed tsunami was going to hit. And in Hawaii, we have a lot of equipment in the harbor areas that if left alone and not secured, could be damaged. Mm-hmm. And that would further delay any sort of recovery effort. So one of the first things we do if we are going to get hit with something that would be, harmful to the equipment we have is to move what we can out to sea and secure or relocate those assets that we do have in the harbors.
One of the things that happens in any kind of a scenario like this that fascinates me is how specific you have to be about each person's role, right? Each member of the team is given very specific tasks in that kind of scenario. Kind of avoids confusion in a stressful situation, doesn't it?
It does. Everybody has a part to play in it, and you need to make sure that everybody knows what that part is.
Well, good to have a plan in place then, isn't it, Joe?
It is.
Thanks very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Joseph Boivin is president and CEO of Young Brothers, Hawaii's largest inter-island cargo carrier.